वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं त्वमेव माता च पिता त्वमेव त्वमेव बन्धुश्च सखा त्वमेव त्वमेव विद्या द्रविणं त्वमेव त्वमेव सर्वं मम देवदेव जय श्री कृष्ण जय गुरुदेव वेलकम टू द 15th डे ऑफ द गीता जयंती सेलिब्रेशंस. द चैप्टर दैट वी आर कवरिंग टुडे इज नोन एज पुरुषोत्तम योगा और द योगा ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सन. Where the Lord gives a wonderful explanation on who is Purushottam, the one that is above the perishable, Shar, and the imperishable, Akshar, is Purushottam Bhagwan. Although this chapter only has 20 verses, it summarizes the entire essence of not just the Gita, but also all the Vedas. Guru Maharaj says, this chapter is the ultimate pilgrimage. This chapter is recited entirely by Sri Krishna. For the past 14 days, we have been introduced to the three yogas, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. The final six chapters of the Gita, starting from chapter 13, deal with Jnana Yoga. Through the yoga of knowledge, Jnana Yoga, one can accumulate wisdom about Brahman, the Supreme Being, Jivatman, which is a spark of Brahman, Prakriti, the perishable universe, the gunas or qualities that we possess, in order to learn how to break the bondage and attachment to the world and achieve Sat Chit Anand, Supreme Bliss. Before we delve into this chapter, first we need to know what is matter and what is consciousness, as matter and consciousness are the two components in creation. There are many terms used to describe matter and consciousness. Some of these are Kshetra and Kshetrajna, Prakriti and Purusha, Shara and Akshara, and many other terms. The basic qualities of matter, in a gist, are that matter is perishable, it is temporary, inert, and subject to adverse conditions, while the qualities of consciousness or spirit are imperishable. They are permanent, obviously conscious, always satisfied and blissful. Consciousness or spirit is the essence, the active principle in every living being. Without it, matter can't do anything. A living being is a mixture of imperfect matter and perfect spirit, Prakriti and Purusha. The ignorant man runs towards the world to fulfill his desires and experiences the dualities in life, pain and joy, success and failure, etc. He fails to understand that this body is transitory and will be caught up in the cycle of birth, growth, decay, disease and death. The only way out is to focus on the permanent Purusha, the self. We need to gain Brahma Gyan and be detached from the body and the world. In chapter 14, we were introduced to the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, and were shown how these gunas influence the behavior and actions of a person. The sattvic guna depicts goodness, rajasic guna depicts passion, and the tamasic guna depicts ignorance. The mix of these gunas and their predominance in a person directs the person towards the world
or towards God. Definitely, if the person is directed to the world, it would be an arduous journey for him, as he would have to face the trials and tribulations that come with the world. A wise man identifies himself with his self, the true consciousness, and is therefore beyond the three gunas. He is a gunatit and will not suffer the pangs of dualities found in this material world. Let us now focus on today's chapter, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, Purushottama Yoga, where the Lord explains how we can both know and believe in Purushottam or the Supreme Person. If we break up the word Purushottama, we get two words. They are Purusha and Uttam. Purusha is the name of the divine spark, the consciousness. Uttam means the highest, that is God, who is the most superior person. Yoga means to join or to be one with. So together, it means the yoga of the Supreme Person. The main topics which are discussed in this chapter circle around these questions. What is the world, Jagat? Who am I, referring to the Atma? What is God, Jagdishvara, Krishna? What is the relationship between me, the world, and God? The knowledge by means of which it is possible for the Jivatma to be one with Paramatma is imparted in this chapter. The chapter first addresses the nature of the world or Jagat. Our existence in this world is illustrated and described as the tree of samsara, an imperishable upside-down tree, the Ashvatha tree, which has its roots above, branches, buds, and leaves below. This tree has roots in Brahman, and as its branches come down, they get more and more materialized. The branches are nourished by the three gunas, as mentioned in chapter 14. The twigs represent the senses. The secondary roots extend downwards, which represents man's never-ending desires and actions towards that end, because of which they are a slave of their senses. The more man pursues these baser goals of life, the more bound he will be to them. The Lord says, this tree represents our entanglements with the world. Therefore, those who are involved in a worldly life cannot see the real form of this vast tree. They cannot see its origin, end, or foundation. They tend to wander from one branch to another without progressing towards the Supreme Being. This is because their actions are not aimed towards reaching a higher purpose, but to satisfy basic animal instincts. For such people, there is no end to this tree. In order to realize the higher purpose in life, one must get out of this bondage. So one must cut down this tree with determination, detachment, and passion. We have to let go of the material world. This firmly rooted Ashvatha tree can be cut asunder with the strong axe of non-attachment, Vairagya. The person who is able to understand this concept of the world is a person of knowledge, a jnani. So who is this jnani or yogi? What qualities should he have? Lord Krishna says in verse 5 that one who is free from pride, delusion, and one who has conquered the evil of attachment can attain liberation or moksha. One who can completely subdue and still his desires and be indifferent and unaffected to the dualities experienced like pleasure and pain. One who is on the spiritual path, dwelling on the self and constantly remembering the name and form of God and showering praises on Him will reach the eternal abode. Where is this eternal abode? Verse 6 tells us that the eternal abode is self-illuminated, and neither the sun, moon, or fire can illuminate. Reaching there, the jnani or yogi merges with the purusha and does not return back to this material world, the tree of samsara. From verses 7 to 9, Lord Krishna answers the question of who am I by telling us what is the Jivatman. Jivatman or Jiva is a spark of Brahman, an eternal portion of Bhagwan. This means that the properties that are within the Lord are also concealed within us. Bhagwan has given us all the powers and good qualities, therefore the ability to attain the supreme state or Purushottam is already within us. We just need to awaken the power through spiritual practice and self-discipline. Lord Krishna says the living entities in the world are part of Him in body, mind and spirit, experiencing the world with the five senses and the mind being the sixth. There is only one self or consciousness, but it attaches itself to one body after another, seeking to exhaust desire. The Jivatman with guna and karma starts the journey in each cycle, entering a body and leaving a body, just as air carries different fragrances. Jivatman through senses, experiences, objects and enjoys. In verses 10 and 11, Lord Krishna tells us who can and cannot realize this journey to reach the eternal abode. Lord Krishna says that the deluded do not see the indweller, but the wise man who possesses the eye of wisdom sees it all. Those who have understood the undivided nature of the self, that it is not several bodies, but one soul that goes through several bodies. In verses 12 to 14, we learn how Paramatma pervades the world. The light in the sun, moon and fire is all from Him. He enters the earth, sustains all beings and also nourishes all plants, including medicinal plants. It is proven that if we recite verse 13 while taking our medication, we will get better. In verse 14, Bhagwan says He is the one energizing the digestive fire and controlling the incoming and outgoing breath, the prana. Reciting verse 14 of this chapter before meals will help digest food and prevent indigestion. Just imagine the amount of work Bhagwan is doing within us. He gives us nourishment, strength, and power that enables us to efficiently carry out our duties. Next, we move on to verse 15 of chapter 15, which is considered as a complete Siddh Mantra. In this verse, Sri Krishna says, He represents all life as He resides in every heart. I alone reside in the hearts of all beings, and from me emanate memory, wisdom, and also their loss. I am verily that which is to be known by the Vedas. I am the author of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Verse 15 of chapter 15 is a very important verse of the Gita, and our Guru, Swami Hariharji Maharaj, has emphasized that it is important for us to recite this verse at least 15 times every day. In fact, Guru Ma recently said that during this time of the pandemic, we should recite one mala, 108 times of this verse. Reciting this verse daily will bring amazing results in our life. Additionally, Swamiji has said that when you are facing any problems, reciting this verse 15 times will bring clarity. I would like to share a story from one of Swamiji's pravachans. Swamiji shares a story of a devotee who sought his help to release his son from prison. His son was wrongfully accused of murder and arrested soon after his marriage. He was sentenced to the gallows. The devotee had been told of Swami Hariharji giving pravachans and decided to attend them to get some advice. He told Swamiji of his plight and said he had tried everything. He had been to the king, the high court, the supreme court, and even made a mercy petition, but everything came to naught. Swamiji told him that since you have tried all avenues and have not been successful, it is best to try the supreme instead. Swamiji asked him to recite this Siddh verse 15 of chapter 15 with full faith. The devotee then relays this advice to his son in prison. The son then faithfully recited this mantra with a photo of Swamiji taken from a newspaper clipping. Lo and behold, soon after, the king decided to pardon 14 prisoners, and the name of the devotee's son was on it. Swamiji has mentioned that by reciting this mantra, many people have had miraculous results. From verses 16 to 19, we learn who is the Supreme Purusha. There are two types of Purushas, the Shara, the perishable, and the Akshara, the imperishable. The Shara consists of all the individuals and their material pursuits. It includes everything subject to change. Akshara consists of everything in the spiritual world that is not subject to change. Above these two kinds of Purushas, there is a Purusha known as the Purushottama, the Supreme Being, who pervades all. Lord Krishna says, as he transcends the perishable and is also superior to the imperishable, he is that very Purushottama. Those who understand and appreciate this attain wisdom and achieve perfection in their efforts. In summary, chapter 15 teaches us that creation is changeable, impermanent, and does not last forever. We learn that Brahman is eternal, and we understand that the Jivatman is a spark of Brahman that is in all of us. In order to achieve everlasting bliss, we must strive to attain Brahman and not get bogged down and bound to the material world, which only provides temporary happiness. Lord Krishna also tells us that he is the Purushottam, the Supreme Being, the Absolute, and that everything in this universe comes from him. Once we understand this, we can focus our efforts into uniting with the Supreme Being. It is up to us to focus on our self-advancement with constant self-check, self-introspection, and self-observation. Thus ends chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, Purushottama Yoga. Hari Om Tat Sat.